As I was preparing a lesson for our Sunday school class this week about when Zechariah was silent during Elizabeth's pregnancy, I was reminded of my own period of semi-silence. I shared some thoughts with our Sunday school class and the lessons that I learned during that time, and I wanted to share them with you too. In this episode, I'll be sharing four lessons I learned during my time of semi-silence and how we can apply that to our everyday lives. I want to begin with a period of silence, and I know that this will probably be awkward and uncomfortable. It's also weird to do on a podcast. You'll hear my room noise, I'm not going to mute myself, and I won't play any background music. I want you to experience the silence we might have if we were in the same room together right now. I invite you to join us as we experience 30 seconds of silence. Take a deep breath, and let's begin. And as we come back together, I invite you to take another deep breath. Before we move into the lessons I learned when I lost my voice, let's explore silence a little bit. What did you feel in your body when it was silent? I'll give you a minute to think about this. What images come to your mind when you think about that period of silence or silence in general? Again, I'll give you a moment to process this. Even allowing silent processing time can be uncomfortable. We only had 30 seconds of silence and a few moments when you were processing the questions that I asked, and it feels not normal. We live in a noisy and fast-paced society. We are not accustomed to being still and silent. In the summer of 2021, I lost my voice. We didn't know why it would come and go. It started with hoarseness after I had a cold, and then it got worse, but it was also intermittent. Sometimes it was fine, and sometimes it wasn't. It lasted about 3 months, which felt like forever. Turns out I had a thrush in my vocal cords related to my asthma medication, and it was so far down that my doctor didn't see it. It took us a while to figure out what was going on. Once we were able to treat it, my voice came back, everything got back to normal. But during those 3 months, it was a real challenge. It was frustrating. It was difficult to interact on a daily basis with my family and with others. But as those 3 months progressed, I started to embrace it and pay attention to how I could learn from it. Ironically, this happened shortly after I completed my first coach training course and I was learning how to listen. So I was really aware and in tune with the need to listen. And even though it was difficult, I tried to keep that frame of mind of what can I learn about listening from this time. Occasionally, something reminds me of that time, like when I was preparing the Sunday school lesson, and I try to recall those lessons that I learned. I need that reminder. I'm so grateful. So I want to share with you four of the lessons that I learned today. And the first one is that because I could only literally squeak some days, I had to consider what the most important thing I wanted to say was. I had to choose my words wisely because every word counted. I did not have the luxury of being able to think out loud. There was no out loud. I had to think, sometimes writing out what I wanted to say or communicating through gestures or whispering, and it was not much that I could whisper. This really forced me to slow down and think before I spoke. I'll be honest, that's something I often don't do. I'm a little impulsive. I often speak before thinking. My husband and I have teased for a long time that I have very little filter. I remember a number of times when I have quickly covered my mouth because I realized I said something I was thinking and it should have stayed in my head instead of coming out of my mouth. I'm learning to slow down and to not just say what comes into my mind, but that's one of the challenges that I do face. So I have to remember to slow down. Because I was thinking more before I spoke, what happened was that conversations went slower. The changed pace of the conversations was actually like a breath of fresh air because they went deeper. It was no longer back and forth like a tennis match. When I said less, what I said was really important to me and often was more thought-provoking than just that tennis match kind of conversation. But it was frustrating as we learned, my family and I learned how to move at this slower cadence. The second thing that I learned was that when you speak softly, others listen more closely. Interestingly, they start to mirror your actions. This is called the mirror neurons, and scientists have been studying this for a while. When you whisper, someone else starts to whisper too. There's absolutely no reason that they need to whisper. You're in a normal room, normal environment. Nothing indicates that you need to be quiet, but whatever you're doing is what they do. So I try to remember this whenever I'm in a normal conversation now. Like if you think about how conversation in a room tends to elevate higher and higher and higher in volume because they're trying to hear over everybody else. But if everybody else started whispering, it would start to quiet down and everybody else would follow suit. The interesting thing, when you whisper, others have to pay attention to what you're saying. They have to really put in some effort so that they can be attentive. They can tune out any extraneous noise around them so they can hear what you have to say. This also tends to slow the conversation down. It allows you to really process what's being said instead of hearing it and in one ear, out the other. You don't become like Charlie Brown's teacher just mumbling in the background. When you say less and when you're talking quieter, you don't blend into the background. What you say actually stands out more. The third lesson that I learned is that the conversation isn't about you. Too often, we listen to respond. Stephen Covey said that is our default listening mode. Instead of actually focusing on what the other person is saying and being fully present with them, we're thinking of what we want to say next. During this time that I had a limited voice, I actually observed a lot of conversations more than participated in them. There were many times others were so engaged in the conversation, and it was like that tennis match back and forth, back and forth. They didn't even realize I had something I wanted to add. I couldn't easily jump in. I had to wait until there was a pause in the conversation. If it was really important, I could wave my arms and get their attention, which I did occasionally, but that's not how you engage in conversation normally. And I'm sure that I was guilty of this before too, of just being so focused and back and forth and not aware when others wanted to jump into the conversation too. So I now try to remember this as I'm having a conversation and look around and use my other senses to see if others look like they want to participate, if they look like they're bored and we need to move on in this conversation. But also just going back to that slowing down, the observation helps me to stay focused on others and not just what I have to say. The conversation will keep going without you, is what I learned. You don't need to be that involved. You can actually learn a lot by listening and observing. And then when you do speak up, others are more likely to listen. The fourth lesson is that it is hard to just be still with someone. People are awkward with silence and someone not being able to talk. I remember people trying to have a conversation and they're like, I don't know what to do. She can say a little bit, not a whole lot. And so they weren't sure what to say next. They weren't sure how to continue the conversation because they weren't getting enough of that feedback that they were used to having of that back and forth tennis match. Sometimes they may not have enough energy to invest that day. They may not know how or want to slow down. They're just having a fast-paced day is frustrating for them. So I try to incorporate little bits of silence into my conversations now and just allow people time to think, allow them time to process. I try not to respond so quickly. So what can we take away from this to apply to our daily lives? I've mentioned this a couple of times, but think before you speak. When you are in a conversation, pause a second before you respond. Allow the other person time to finish their thoughts and for you to fully formulate your thoughts. You're not trying to one-up or have a comeback to exactly what they said. Allow both of you time to really process, because maybe when you finish your sentence, you're actually not done, but you need to formulate some more thoughts. We also need to remember to choose our words carefully. You are important, and what you have to say does matter, but you don't need to be the loudest or the most frequent voice in the room. What you have to say might have more weight if you actually add less to the conversation or hold back a little bit and add it a little later. And then finally, embrace the silence. The next time that you feel awkward with a silence, literally lean your body in a little and wait one more second before you respond. You'll find as you do that, you can wait longer and longer. This is one of the lessons that we had to learn in coach training of how to allow and embrace that silence, because in that silence is when a lot of the really deep thought work happens. When you do this, you might actually be allowing someone to think a little deeper about what they want to say and to communicate what is really important to them. I invite you to think about how you can apply these lessons to your lives this next week. Think about a conversation that you're having and see how you can embrace a little bit of that silence and slow down the pace of the conversation a little. If you want to dive deeper into this idea of listening, there are two episodes that I'll link in the show notes that dive a little bit into how you can listen in those conversations and improve your listening skills to help others really feel heard and understood and loved. Until next time, continue leaning in to who you are and making an impact in the world. Thanks for joining me on the Purposeful Impact podcast. I pray that today's episode blessed you and that you found encouragement and practical tips. If so, would you share this episode with someone else so that they can be blessed too? I'd also appreciate it if you would take 30 seconds and leave a rating and review in your podcast app. Leaving a review helps other homeschool parents find the podcast and know if it's a good fit for them. Thanks so much for helping to spread the word.